left off, that still until today, many attempts are still being made continuously by various scholars and by various historians, again, to try to be koiveya, which is the time frame of the Mechaber of the Yerches Tzadikim, the location where he lived, and even his name, which again is something that we don't know. But Lemaisid was not met with much success, and some of the going around accepted opinions today, after all the various research, was they came up with that the Mechaber of the Sefer Yerches Tzadikim, that he wrote the Sefer somewhere in the middle of the 15th century, which is in the 1400s. Interesting thing is that in the year Tovshin Samadala, 2004, a manuscript was discovered of a copy of the Sefer Yerches Tzadikim, and that copy alone is already from the year 1430, and that's a copy which is not the original manuscript. And I happen to have here, it's not going to pass it around, because but you just see, this is a copy of a copy of this is the manuscript was discovered, and this is a 1430, this is the Ksav Yad of a copy 1430, which means that when they made a copy, and this is, by the way, a kitzer. This copy is a kitzer of the Yerches Tzadikim, taking it the short version, so it would be easier to finish it than to get the message of the Yerches Tzadikim. We can realize if they made a kitzer, it means the Sefer was already quite well known before that, and years later they made a kitzer, they made a short form. That's the way it usually works. So it comes out that the Yerches Tzadikim, therefore, he lived before 1430, Akoponim, and maybe at the end of the 1300s, or somewhere in the middle. That was at Kufa, I mean, the early 1300s was at Kufa, the first expulsion of Jews from France, which was 1306. But years later, in that area, in that Kufa, between mid-1300s and 1400, is Mistoma, which is the Zman of the, where the Yerches Tzadikim lived. Interesting also to point out that among the different opinions, and we mention it because we have an opportunity also to discuss, you know, the various people that were suggested to have authored the Yerches Tzadikim. And that is very interesting. I'm not sure if the Olam ever heard, but it was suggested that the Mechaber of the Yerches Tzadikim is someone by the name of Rabbi Yontif Lipman Milhausen. Biontiv Lipman Milhausen was someone who lived, again, either in the late 1300s or in the early 1400s, and he was a great Baal Halacha and as well as a Baal Kabbalah. Particularly what he is known for, he wrote a Sefer called Sefer HaNitzochim. If you realize, the person who lives in that Kufa, you know, the end of the 1300s into the 1400s, there are a lot of debates, with religious debates. And he wrote the Sefer HaNitzochim, which is the Sefer, right, to be victorious over the claims of the other religions, of which he tried to show that they were not really real, based upon various proofs. So, simply put, because the Christian religion tries to show from Tanakh, various psukim from Tanakh, right, to show that where their belief system comes from. So here clearly in Sefer HaNitzochim shows why Tanakh really denies it, does not go along with it at all. And he demonstrates the mistakes. Goes back, you see how many years we're going back now. Demonstrates the mistakes and the errors that appear, to the point that he shows it's utterly absurd to suggest that in Tanakh there should be any reference, you know, on the basis of the religion. So the truth is there was fear of reprisals, you know, from the church at the time. So the book was kept in manuscript and handed down from generation to generation, right, to be used by Jewish scholars if they had to debate, so they had the information in that Sefer. But it wasn't printed, because simply out of fear of reprisal, the church leaders were aware of it, or became aware of it, that such a book existed, and in Mela they endeavored to trace it. Whatever, at all costs, we have to try to find it. So there was a certain monk who seized it from a certain Rav, translated it, and published his notes. Generations thereafter, we find that Christians attempted to refute all the arguments that Rabbeinu Yontif wrote, and in Latin, he was a big book in Latin as well, and out of fear that in fact that this work can influence, and people who sees it will see all the falsehood, So what they did was, the Pope had issued a decree that prohibited any Yid to keep Rabbi Yontif Sefer, to keep it in their possession. Banned it. They had banned it. Push it out of here. Interesting thing is that in 1399, Rabbi Yontif and other Yidden were thrown into prison. And this was on the instigation of the Mishumet Peter. Instigation of Mishumet Peter, who accused them of insulting Christianity. And so, as to justify themselves, Rabbeinu Yontif himself again wrote a very brilliant refutation again against the accusations of this Peter. But Lamaise, as a result, just as a result of the charges, 80 Yidden were slaughtered and were martyred, and only Rabbeinu Yontif, he escaped death. So there was a suggestion anyway that the Mechaber of the Orchis Tzaddikim was Takedish Rabbeinu Yontif HaKoyen, by the way he was, Rabbeinu Yontif HaKoyen Milhausen, but subsequently also there was riots against it. So the fact is like this, one thing is clearly, he certainly was after those people that he brings in a Sefer. Because obviously they were before him. Well, so he brings the Balei HaToisis, so he's after the Balei HaToisis, right? Doesn't mean he was very far off, but he was after the Balei HaToisis. One can see one of the sections of the Yorchas Tzaddik, Mishar HaToiris, you'll see. Mishar HaToiris there, where he quotes. And also, there is makes a lot of sense that probably he was from Ashkenaz extraction, from the Chachma Ashkenaz. Why? Because when he talks about the Mesoiris HaToiris, he dwells a lot on the Messiah of Ashkenaz, even though in his Sefer itself, when he talks about Torah, quoting Chidushim, he talks about the Sephardish. But when it comes to Messiah, he mentions Ashkenaz. So why would he jump? When it comes to discussing Torah, for Torah's sake, he mentions a lot from the Sephardish Chachomim. But when it comes in talking about Messiah, he goes back to Ashkenaz, which is sort of a hint that maybe possibly he really stammed from Ashkenazic extraction. So we're going to move on, Rabbi Yisai. Time is short, and we're going to take a look here at the Orchis Tzaddikim. And we have to make up a little bit for what we did last week. It's in Dav Gimel we have here. Dav Gimel in the, where we're going to hear. It's the middle of the Hagdoma still. And we can do the Hagdoma now, and maybe next we will start the actual Sefer. We don't have to do necessarily the whole Hagdoma. But Chalokin of the Hagdoma, which is serves as a good introduction. So, Dav Gimel V'chol HaDeyos. If you have the Orchis Tzaddikim, if you have the same editions that we have here. Okay, Orchis Tzaddikim is Hagdoma, talks about all the various character traits that people have, all the various midos that people have. So he says as follows, V'chol HaDeyos Yesh Mehem, as far as character traits, where do they come from? How do people have them? So it's not all the same. Different midos people have for different reasons. Now you can have two people who are quick to get angry, but it's not for the same reason. And he goes on to say, Yesh mehem, some of the character traits, he says, Shohoy lo odom mitchilas briyosoy leviteva gufoy. Some people possess these midos, these character traits, from the beginning of creation. Not if they were wired that way. They were wired that way. And people are wired differently. So some people have certain midos, you see, because this is the way they were created right from the beginning. Then there are others, he says, Vyesh mehem deyos, there are other people who have these midos. Shetivoy shalodom zeh, because according to his nature, mechuvin ve'osid lekabeloi somehera, he is susceptible. Right, he's susceptible based upon his nature. He's inclined to adopt these particular midos more than other midos. Lekabeloi somehera yosef mishalis. In other words, when we talk about that people's nature determines midos, it can be in one of two ways: either he's born right away with that midah, or even if he was not born with that character trait, but his nature is at least to be inclined to it, so he adopts it. So either he has it right away from the start, and as soon as he's born, he's incorporated. He was wired with certain situations. You know, some people just not naturally kind, and some people have to work on it to be kind. Other people, as I said, are quick to get anger. And why are they quick to anger? Either because, again, this is part of their nature, or other people, maybe they were not born that way, but their nature at least was inclined to lean that way, so they adopted. So also the nature was the cause of at least acquiring that particular midah, says the Orchis Tzaddikim. And then he says, V'yesh einam lo'odom b'tchil b'riyosoy. It's also possible there are midahs which a person does not have from birth, but simply because he was in the company of others. And you know what happens is, when you are in the company of people, you tend to learn from them, you tend to follow in their ways. Or maybe not even being influenced by others. Maybe a certain thought occurred to him, he said. Which means to say is, he grows inclined because of some thought that arose in his heart, and somehow he kept it there. So comes now, the Yochid Tzadikim tells us, the truth is, if we analyze all the different midos, you realize not all the character traits are to be used in the same measure. In other words, everything has to really be measured out depending on the character trait and also for the particular situation that you are involved in. As he goes on to explain, this is a character trait and that is a character trait. Yet the amount of how you use this one and that one are not all the same. The shear, the midah, the measure of how to use any midah is also not the same and has to be judged, as he says, v'yesh midah shisorach hashtamish bo ma'at. There are certain traits, right, which a person is supposed to use like sparingly, a little. And then he says, there are certain midas that you write that you use a lot in most cases, and then there's traits which you use it very little, very sparingly. And he gives an example. He says, it can be compared to someone's cooking a dish. So you're cooking a dish, now you have a number of ingredients. You need yerek, you need vegetables, or basar, you have to put in meat. Umayim and water, umelach and salt, upilpul and pepper. Now, here you have a number of five ingredients. Now, although the dish needs five ingredients, but the measure of each ingredient is not the same. Don't put in the same amount of salt as you put in meat. And so on, as he goes on to say. So he says, the truth is, when you're making this dish, b'chol elu haminim, all these ingredients that we are talking about, tzorech likach m'kol echad kishir. You don't take the same amount of all the ingredients equal, but you take each amount that is necessary, from some, right, you will take a little, and you'll take a lot of the other. And he goes on to explain, for example, because if you turn over the Seder, if you switch, he says, the order, he says, if a person, for example, will be sparing in the meat, then the dish will be too thin. On the other hand, if he adds too much salt, you won't be able to eat it because it's too salty. And then that's the same thing with all the ingredients. If he lessens, and if he adds too much, where you have to have a little, it's very clear, he says, that in fact that the food will be ruined. So therefore, of course, so you have to make sure to put in the proper amounts, which means aval habaki. But a person who is habaki, a person who is in fact who is knowledgeable, the knowledgeable person, he's going to take from each ingredient, right, the proper weight, that which you need, the right measure of each ingredient. If you put in the proper amount of each ingredient, then of course it's going to be pleasant and it's going to be tasty to the person who eats it. Same thing says the Yochid Tzadikim are with midos also. Yesh midos, there are certain traits, shitzorach likach men harbe. There are certain traits that a person has to adopt in large measure. Certain traits, a lot of it. And then it could go in. For example, another humility. Humility is a very admirable trait. Another, something a lot. Should adopt a lot of that. Haboishis, it's a Jewish trait that a person should have shame. And that's one of the simonim of Yid. Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Goim L'chasodim. Yid is a Baishim. And therefore he is a Baishim. That is a uniquely Jewish trait. Also a demayan, and he says, and similar to that, he says, and the like. Those are things, he says, which are to be adopted, he says, a lot. But on the other hand, he says, v'yesh midois. Then he says, there are traits, shitzorach likach men ma'at. Traits where you have to use them very sparingly. Kegon hagaiva, pride. Pride is something which a person have only a small dose, not a lot. V'ha azus, and of course, certain who has azus, which is like audacity. He says, something has to be used sparingly. Or achzorius, person has harshness. Also, to be used sparingly. Therefore, lochein, behiyoyso adam shoykel befelis. Therefore, he says, when a person actually, he weighs on a scale. Right? He has to weigh all of the midos on a balance scale. Likach mekol midah shiura. To take from each midah, right, the proper amount. Lo yifchois velo yosef. He has to be careful, right? Not to add where you're not supposed to, right? And not also to detract where you have to. But Zeh, if he follows this measure, and he calculates each and every trait, how much of each one is necessary, is important, he says, Bozeh yigia l'tachlis ha-toivah. So this will bring him to reach the ultimate good. This will bring him to the Tachlis HaToyva that a Yid is supposed to strive for, is supposed to reach in that Madrege. So he goes on further and he says, Teida. He says, I want you to know, V'tovin, I want you to understand. He says, Mi Shetivoy Noitel Midaroa. He says, if a person who by nature is inclined to have a Midaroa, an evil character trait, an evil Midaroa, or let's say it was not natural, he adopted it, it became habitual. He kept doing it a lot, so now it becomes part of his nature. It became part of his nature. Or Shehurgal Bimidaroa. Or he became accustomed to doing a trait which is bad, which is evil. He says, a person like that, he says, V'loyiten Alibo Eloshu Memeno. And when he is involved in these bad traits, if he does not take upon himself a commitment to try to get rid of it, he says, Achtomid Mizgabrebo. But rather he allows, right? He allows continuously to strengthen himself in these bad traits. So now they become rooted. So the Nikud is like this. A person is able, who basically could have been a good person. So when he gets used to Midos Rois, not only Midos Rois, right? Bad traits, evil traits become part of him. He begins to hate good Midos, says the Yochai Tzadikim. He begins even to hate. It's not just that he's not doing what's good. He says you develop really... You develop a disdain, he says, for the proper good midos. So it's doubly dangerous. He says, such a person, zemevi oisoi, this will lead a person. Sheyimas viyigal b'midos toivis. This will bring a person to a situation where actually that he is going to despise, right? Going to despise, and he's going to reject midos toivis, good traits. And he goes on to point out another example. He's going to point out how this... There are two types of illnesses, two types of sickness. Of course, there's physical illness, which everybody knows it's about, but also he calls about the chole hanefesh, where the neshama suffers, where a person's neshama, where his soul is sick because of the behavior of the person. So he points out, here's the parallel. In the same way, when a person has pain, right? Ke'ev, he has pain. And he has tsar, he has distress, and yesurim, all types of afflictions. Chole haguf, right? That indicates, of course, that his body is sick, because these are physical problems. He says, "Kein roiv midos rois." So too, he says, in most situations, a person who has midos rois, him choli anefesh. It's an illness. The neshama is sick. One's neshama is sick in the same way, but we understand with the physical, because we feel the pain, so we understand our body is physically ill. But the neshama, we don't feel it outright. So he wants to tells the Orech Tzadikim that in the same way that we understand what it means to have physical illness, a person who has midos rois, the truth is his neshama is sick. That's the parallel. And therefore, being that we have a parallel, so, Kumoy Shebecholi Haguf, Toy Amim, he says, Hamar Mosik, Vamosik Mar, we know that when it comes to Cholei Haguf, when a person is physically ill, you know what happens is, his taste buds change. Bitter tastes sweet, and sweet tastes bitter. Once I've shot, you know, every morning, a Yid says in Birkas HaTorah, he says, Vahar of Noah Hashem Elokeinu, makes the Tefillah Kadosh Baruch Hu, make the Torah sweet. Vahar of Noah, right? Make the Torah sweet in our mouths. Why the emphasis on our mouths? A person learns Torah, we know how we learn Torah. You learn Torah with the mind. You say the words, then you use your mouth also. But what's the emphasis? Make the Torah sweet in our mouths. The pleasure of learning, that's what we want. In the mouth, the pleasure of learning, by the way, is not in the mouth. The pleasure of learning really is the experience, you know, the understanding, you know, it's not in the mouth. So what does it mean? What's the emphasis of Bifinu? So I believe the answer is, the Chassadikim is telling us, you know, and which we know, if someone is physically ill, his taste buds change. So you imagine someone sitting in a hospital. He's sitting in a hospital. So they serve him food. Food that he usually likes. Puts it in his mouth, and he abhors the taste. He says, what's wrong with the food today? He says, what's wrong with it? So he starts blaming the cook. He says, bring me other food. So they bring him other food. And he puts it in his mouth, and it doesn't taste right. So again, he blames the food again. And then tells his wife, you know, this stuff is not good. Bring me stuff from home. You know my favorite food? She brings them food. He says, what happened today? Not cooking. What happened? Oh, the doctor comes and he analyzes him. The doctor says, listen, bro, nothing's wrong with the food. Problem is with you. Your taste buds doesn't work. You're sick. The food is okay. Nothing wrong with the food. The food is the same. My boy said, the Torah is sweet. Torah doesn't need no salt, no pepper. The problem is our mouth, our taste buds. The Torah doesn't have to be made sweet. Torah doesn't need any adjustment. Torah doesn't need any fixing. Don't have to add any. The Torah is sweet. The problem is how we receive it. Our taste buds aren't the way we're supposed to be. So our bracha, our tefillah, Rabbanu Shlom is not to make the Torah sweet. Torah is sweet. But if we are not spiritually connected, so Mela, we are not able, our taste buds are not there. So our tefillah, the Baruch Shalom, should correct us, that we should elevate us spiritually, if we're able to appreciate the sweetness of Torah. In any case, so the Chassidim tells us, in the same way the Bachoy Laguf, Toyamim we taste what's bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter. And he says, as a matter of fact, it goes even further than that. When somebody is sick, he's desirous of food which really, right, which is against his health, which can really hurt him. The Yesh Min HaCholim, there are certain cholim, right? There are certain people who are physically ill, who desire food that's actually not good for them. Shemis Avel LaMachol, he desires food chayne toivloi. And Vesoynim, and trying to give him good food, he doesn't like it. Anything that's healthy, he doesn't like. He davke wants the food that's not good. Hakol Lifiroi V'Cholim. It all is in accordance, he says, with the magnitude of the illness. So the same way that a person who's sick is going to confuse sweet is bitter and bitter is sweet, so he doesn't really have any barometer, right, of really being to evaluate what really is good or not, he mixes it all up. So the Orcha Tzadikim, the same thing is you have with people who are their neshamis. He said, where the neshamis really are ill. And in that situation, he says, if these people, the neshama, the nefesh, is choyle, v'oihavim haroyis, and now they desire and they love that which is evil. V'soinim derech hatoiv, in the same way that the choyle does not like the healthy food. He hates the healthy food. He davke wants the food that's the same way. The neshama is choyle, the neshama rejects midos toivos, things that are good, and adopts davke, and pursues that which is not good, that which is evil. U'misatzelim lolechizbo. And the Choyla HaNefesh, as he says, they hate the Derech HaToivo, and also they are slack, right, in searching it, to try to find what's good. He says, V'hi kveid aleim oid, and it's a big burden on them to do what's good, l'fi chol yom, depending upon the measure, depending on the measure of their illness. V'chen Yishayo Oimer, Shainovi says, Banoshim Alolo, he's referring to these people. And Shainovi says, Hoi ho oimrim lora toiv le toiv ra, mamish what he's saying. Shainov is referring, woe to those people who call evil good and good they call evil. They switched it over. They take darkness to be light, and light they take to be darkness. And they take bitter to be sweet, and sweet to be bitter. And on those people, says the Orcha Tzadikim, he quotes now another posik, a posik in Mishle. But the Pasuk in Mishle says that Hu'oizvim Orchis Yosher, those who have forsaken the path, right, of righteousness, of uprightness, Loleches Bedaki Choshech, and they walk in the way of darkness. Nobody wants to walk in the way of darkness. Who wants to walk now? You want light. The answer is your values are all mixed up. What's light is dark for you, and what's dark is light. What's bitter is sweet, and what's sweet is bitter. And this is the situation where a person really gets caught up in this type of a trap. Says Yochad Tzadikim further, Yeshkam ibn Yodom. He says that there are people asher tavosom lispois derech hatoiv. He says that there are people. The truth is, who want to pursue what is right. One problem: they don't know. They don't know really what is good for them. So there are people, in fact, who are interested, who really want to go about it. He says ve'enam yoidim atoiv lahem, but they really don't know what is really good for them. Ve'choishim b'chol yoim. So on the one hand, they really make plans, right? They really make plans that they would like to attain higher madrigas. Lahasing malahol yoyne. So they are making plans that they would like to reach and to elevate themselves to a higher level, but they never make it. They never reach their goal. Ve'eino masigim kol yomeim. But l'maise, even though that this would be their desire, they think about it every day even, he says. But l'maise, they never attain it. You know why? Two possible reasons, says Yochel Tzadikim. Ve'zehu inyin machmashnei devorim hu. The reason that they will never reach the goal of attaining the Milo Yoyne, the higher Madregas, that they would like to reach, but they don't reach it. You know why? He says, for two reasons. Huechod, one reason is, first of all, because he says, She'enoi makir chesroinoi, because the person does not recognize his faults, they don't recognize their faults, Ve'enoi mavchim bedrochov hamigunim, and they lack to discriminate about the ways that are inappropriate. So, a person can only be healed if he realizes that he has a machla, if he realizes something wrong, and he believes he has to change it. But if the person thinks, does not recognize a fault, well, he's not going to work on this fault, because it's not a fault. So many people, theoretically, they would like to attain a high level, a madrega of goodness, and to do the right thing, but they don't attain it either because they don't recognize the fault, so they don't feel they have to work on it at all, so they're not working on it. They think that the situation, in any situation, it's fine, it's okay as it is, so I don't have to work in that area. They are not discriminatory, he says, in the things that they do, which are unseemly, right? Which are unseemly ways. And he says, he gives an example. If you don't, of course, recognize, if you don't recognize what the chesaron is, it's obvious you're not going to find it. As he goes on to point out. So imagine Reuven is trying, is searching for someone called Shimon, but he never met Shimon. Shimon can go by 5 times a day. He won't know what hit him. He's not going to know it's Shimon. As he says, imagine Reuven and Machapis Lashimon, Venim Akiroi, Afili Yachapis Soy, Sekola Yoim Loyim Soy. Even if he searches him all day, he's not going to find him. He says, in fact, many times he'll be there. If Allah Yakiroi, you won't recognize him. Says, Yochet Sadikim Kein Odom Azeh. So to this person also. If he's not Makiris Chesroinis, Apa Pishu Chayshiv Tomid. Even though, yes, theoretically, yeah, I'd like to do the right thing. I'd like to be at a certain Madrega. So in his kavanas, basically his outline, what he plans for himself, might be admirable, might be fine. But yet he himself is doing things, his attitudes are there, which really stays and blocks his reach. Even though this person continuously, he really thinks about it, to do the right thing. He's not makir chesaron. And then he goes on. And he says, that Velej Yesh Odom, Shudeya Midas Harosh Yesh Boy. And then on the other hand, he says, you have people who really, truthfully, is that he does recognize it. He does recognize. This person, Taka, who really does recognize, there's another type of a person. This is the other person. Because he said there are two possibilities. Person really sets a goal for himself to reach a high madrega in goodness, and he's not making it. First reason, because this is the type of person that he doesn't recognize his faults. You don't recognize your faults, so what are you going to work at? So, but then there are people, on the other hand, who do know Midas Haroi Sheshboi. There are people, matter of fact, who do know, and they recognize the evil Midas, and matter of fact, they not only recognize it, but V'choyshev L'tseis Mehem, and he really hopes to get rid of these Midas Rois, these bad Midas, V'la'echot B'Midas Toivis, and he does want to adopt good ones. And yet, he says, V'gamhu L'yasik Kol Yom Avder Chayosha, and yet he also will not reach his goal. What's the reason for that person? Person really who wants to, he recognizes the fault, and he knows the difference between good and bad, and he recognizes within himself what's not good and what should be good, yet he still won't reach his goal. Why? The answer is because he doesn't want to work at it. In other words, he wants the end without the means. He wants to reach the goal without putting in the work. So he says, Machmas, the reason he's not going to attain the level which he would like to attain, Machmas shemis atzel, because he slacks in his search. He's slacking off in his search, lechapeis hamidos hatoivos keroyu. So Mamela, he is not really searching them out properly. And Mamela being that this person, in fact, he's not seeking it out, right? He's not seeking it out. So he says, let's say that Reuven, going back to the same Moshel, but here's a slight difference. Reuven knows who Shimon is. He's looking for him. He's not going to find him. You know why? He only looks for him for 30 seconds. That's it. Maybe looking for an hour. Maybe he'll find it. So he reckons, I'm going to find Shimon. Reuven wants to find Shimon. I know who Shimon is. But you know what? He's not looking for him enough. So that's another reason. So he says, Doimit Reuven Shemachapis Shimon. Reuven is searching for Shimon. Makira, he recognizes him. If he would see him, he'd recognize him. He doesn't find him. Why? Because he's not searching for him properly. And therefore the Pasuk says, Pasuk says in Mishle, Shlomo Melech makes a comparison. He says, Kesef Nivchar, he says, choice silver. When you think about choice silver, compare choice silver to the tongue of a tzaddik, which means to say is the behavior of a tzaddik. Lishoyin tzaddik. What does that mean? What does it mean, choice silver? Kesef Nivchar. Choice silver, that's the lashon of the tzaddik. That is like the tongue of the tzaddik. So Chassidim suggests that the pshat is as follows, based upon what we have been taught here. Pirish. Imagine, he says, Misha noisha machabachaveiroi ubole shalmoloi kesef b'mishkol. Imagine a situation, if someone comes to pay a creditor, right? You owe money to someone. So you come to pay a credit, you want to give him silver by weight. You want to pay him in silver. Silver by weight. But the creditor, you know, silver is not his business. So he's not a maven on silver. So the silver that is being paid, right? If the creditor who's taking the silver is not a maven, he can be cheated. More ways than one, as the Orchid Zingin points out. If he allows himself to be paid by silver, and he's not a maven on silver, im einoy makir, if he does not recognize, right? If he does not recognize, he's not aware of the truth, ba'amitas hamishko. If the creditor who's taking agrees to accept the silver, a number of things can cause problems. A, he doesn't know the weight, or he see there when it's being weighed, maybe there's something, maybe the machine is not set properly. You know, you have to have a balanced scale. If you're not a maven on a scale, again, it could be cheated again. You don't have the weight. So says the Orchis Tzadikim, he says, if the person who wants to accept the silver, if he does not recognize, right, Bamitis HaMishkel, does not recognize what true weight is, but Tzedek HaMuznaim, and does not recognize not a maven, you know, on the balance scale, that it should be proper, right, that it's accuracy, the accuracy of the scale, he does not recognize it. Or let's say more than that. Let's say he's a maven about weight, and he knows about scales, but you know what, but he just does not know quality of silver. So you know, you can give him silver that's mixed in with all different types of impurities, other types of metals and stuff like that. Yeah, it looks very nice. And give him weight. It weighs the weight, but inside, you get all different types of situations. He's not a boki. So zehu ish korev li is nizog b'inyan ha-mishkol v'kesef. You can imagine. Such a person, when he accepts silver, you can realize that he stands to lose. He stands to lose quite a bit. So if he's not an expert in evaluating silver, so you can realize that he is prone to suffer a loss. He's karev lenezik. Such a person is prone to suffer a loss. Kilipamim yimayin b'kesef v'yikach hasigin. He says even more than that. You can have a shiny coin, looks nice and silvery. He says, I want that one. And the real silver is just not polished. So he's not a maven. So he picks the shiny metal, and he doesn't realize that the shiny metal is shiny, but it's not real silver. The other metal, the other one that he rejected, is real silver, but they didn't want it. There's a shine enough. So he says, so instead of silver, you're going to reject the silver, you're going to take, he says, the sigim, you're going to take the impurities, you're going to take the other stuff, the artificial stuff. Or gam yikach pochas memishkel aroyeloi. It's possible also that you're going to take less than the weight that's coming to you. Kishema yikach memishkel akal, maybe it'll be a lightweight. Or yosem akese bekafa kvedosh b'mznaim, or maybe the weigher will place the silver in a heavy balance on the scales, you know, to make it look like as if it's weighing more when it's not really weighing that much. There's all types of situations if you don't know what you're doing. And he goes on to say, and also, let's say you're a big bucky, but if you're not looking at it right, you're not checking it. So if you're not checking, you could have all the knowledge of the world, but if you're not looking at it right, so then again, you're not going to notice. So, and if you're not going to look at it appropriately, then you can have all types of mixtures of impurities. However, the person was conscientious, and he knows what he's looking at, and he's not going to look at it the way you're supposed to, then of course he can be protected. But in fact, if he's a person, right, who is really aware, right? If a person is aware, b'mishkel, b'kesef, he knows weights, he knows silver, mistakel b'kroi, and in fact, okay, he looks at it properly, he looks at it appropriately, so ozu mishtalim k'roi, then he'll be paid appropriately, kesef noki, v'sholim b'mishkel, it'll have its weight, it'll be pure kesef, everything. So he says, so that's what kesef nivchor is. Kesef nivchor, choice weights, look at choice silver. So what's involved? Choice silver means that you have to be a bucky in the weight, you have to be a bucky in alloy, you have to be a bucky in metal. You have to recognize, you know, is it real, is it artificial? Yep. So all these things that you really have to know. Then you have your choice silver. The tzaddik also, in his life, taking inventory of his spiritual life, knows all of the detail in the same way that the silversmith, or the person who wants to be involved with silver, right, and doesn't want to lose when he gets paid, has to be aware of all the situations, all the pitfalls. He said, that's also the life of a tzaddik. You have to take the same inventory within yourself. You have to know what's good, the impurities. You have to know the impurity, bad midas. This is a good midas. This is a bad midas. But you have to think also. You have to really think twice before you use a midah. Is it being used appropriately? Like someone can know about silver, but if you're not really looking at it good enough, if you're not analyzing it, not looking at it good enough, you can be cheated, even though he knows everything, but he's not looking. So he says, even if you know everything, but he also says that tzaddi, when it comes to midos, you have to be mistakel, you have to make a decision. Is this appropriate practice now, for now? Is it appropriate behavior? So listakel is boinem ben kiroi. Yeah, it takes work, he says. You have to exert yourself. Right? You have to exert yourself physically and intellectually, he says. Ubachmosoi. Physical exertion, intellectual exertion, as he says. In order to be able to rid himself, he says, Lazav Hatipshus, to abandon, to leave, right? This unsecheldig away. Velaechois bitvuna, and then adopt that which is intellectually smart, that which is really appropriate. He has to embrace understanding. Lahoser, and to remove taruvais hasigim mimenu, and to remove, right, the mixture of all the impurities. If he does that, then his neshama will be pure, umezukaka, it will be refined, and it goes on and on. Okay, so here we have, so you have all different types of midos. But as Rakhat Tzadikim says, but you have to measure. That which is good also you have to know, to use it good. That which is bad, use this less, this is right. So the midos, and he goes on later to say, that each and every midah has to be appropriately evaluated if this is the right thing for now. So based upon this, I want you to take a look here a little bit. We have here on the sheet a number of inyonim. The first thing we have is, we're learning our Orchis Tzadikim, you know, Bichlal, which is a shir in Musar in general, in the Sefer Mechtovim Ma'amorim, that they printed many letters from Rav Shach. So it's kedai just to see a letter of Rav Shach Bichlal, the attitude towards learning, whether it's Orchis Tzadikim or learning Shari Tshuva, whatever Sefer Musar that a person learns. This is a letter that Rav Shach wrote many years ago, and you can take a look to whom he's writing it. He's addressing all of the Bnei Torah and Bnei HaYeshivas. Rav Shach writes, "Hineni poyne lechol mekoymes haTorah." I'm addressing myself to all the areas that study Torah. Hayeshivas hakdoshes ulechol bnei Torah b'chol mokim shehem. I'm writing this letter. Ubemokim shesh kibush shel bnei Torah, wherever you have a gathering of bnei Torah, she'ein terosim nosam. Even though it's not full time learning, you have balbatim, but they have bnei Torah. Even though it's not terosim nosam, but nevertheless bnei Torah. Al yeshir kavua lizman. Nevertheless, people have yeshir lizman mesuyim, particular time. The kavaya itim l'tayir, to set aside time for learning. B'chol yom. So all these people have a shaychus to Torah. All people have a shaychus to Torah. I'm addressing myself, says Rav Shach, with this letter. Lochem ani poine. Says I'm turning to you. Shekulchem chunachtchem by yeshivas. You basically have been educated in the yeshivas. Shehoy lechoy kavua b'chol yom lilmoid b'sifrei musar. Where the yeshivas had a seder, right? You had a seder every day, a set time to learn Musar. As the early Rosh Yeshiva, going back many years, starting from Rosh Salanta really mainly, for the chiyuv of learning Musar, and they have appropriately defined what it means, Musar learning. They defined it, the importance of learning Musar, with the following motion. Just like everybody agrees, you cannot see without eyes. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have eyes, you can't see. You can have all the Torah in the world, but if you don't have spiritual eyes, he says, you can't see. So he says, and you can't walk without feet. He says, you can't live a life of Torah. You can have all the Torah, you can learn all the Torah you want, but you can't live it. You can't practice it, believe limud hamusar. Says Rav Shach, now listen. What I'm saying, this was already said in those days. In those days, you have to realize, where the door was on a higher level than our door today. And if they, the Bala Musa, wrote, and impressed upon the Yid, the Chiyiv, right, of getting different Yisairis from learning Musa in those days, because they said, without Musa, he says, you will not be able to fully, you know, be a Yid the way you're supposed to. So if that was written in their time, Shoya Dor Deya, with the Dor Deya, the Dor of Gedolei Yisrael, Ubizman Shlohoya Pirtzis Kol Kach Mutar Klaus, so Klaus was more or less, right, was on a level. You didn't have all these breaches as you have today. Avla Davinein Ubi says, but unfortunately, Haporus Meruba Aloimit, today we have more breaches, unfortunately, breaking away from tradition than solid. Bevada should seek in chizuk moed, and avada we need chizuk today. So Rav Shach says, hachiyuv, hachoyv, al kol yeshiva lamed betoikiv. Should be very strictly says about it. Al shmiras seder limud musar, to keep, should be supervised, make sure that the seder is kept. Ubevada should bechol koilel, when you have a koilel of young marrieds, yisaknu lilmud chol apochis esrim regoim, he says 20 minutes, at least. Vekvaheruch ubir, this is already elaborated, he says, Rav Shach, b'choyves halimud ozeh, regarding Musar, he says, by my uncle, Doidi. Moron goin Yisroel v'tefartoi, Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer, zechat tzadik v'kodesh l'vrocha. Because as you know, Rav Shach was the son-in-law of Reb Isser Zalman's sister. So Rav Shach was the son of Reb Isser Zalman's sister, which makes Reb Isser Zalman Rav Shach's uncle. And if you know Reb Isser Zalman, of course, you know, was the shver of Baron Kotler. All right. So he said, Mrs. Zalman already very strongly, he says, worked on that. to make sure that yeshivas have a seder musar. Va'ach v'itoy hagoyin Rabbi Isaac Sher, Zechet Tzadik, because the bracha also Cheskel Sarna, Chevron, Yeshivas Chevron, as is printed in the pamphlet called Hatvune. Then he ends, Uma yesh lahoysef al divrei, he said, what can I add to the words of these great people? Shekol advorim hev divrei goyin Yisroel if nishloisha doiris, Rabban shekol b'nei agoyle, the Rebbe of all of the diaspora, Bishol Salanter, Zechet Tzadik, because the bracha l'chayu el mabot. So who can even argue, he says. So Salanter already started this and insisted on it. The Ein Leheshiv, he says, there's nothing that's left more to say. The Ani, I merely came to repeat what they've said, not to actually introduce anything new, says Avshach. I'm merely reinforcing that which has been said. As the signs of Eloza Menachem Anshach. So this is just a very interesting letter that he felt necessary to make sure that this is something. So he's talking about even people who learn full-time make a difference. Certainly people of Adeh who are involved in Olam Hazeh. So you need a lot of chizik, a lot of inflation. You know, people we go out to work today, and certainly it's a challenge. It's a big nisoyim. And in order to recharge your battery, so it's important to have certainly to have some sort of a shir of Musar. Regarding now the inyan that the Orchis Tzadikim talked about the various different midos, right? The various different character traits, and you use them this way, and some you use that way, and you have to evaluate it, and you have to weigh it, as he goes on to say. So here we have a very interesting shtickle Torah from Moshe Feinstein in the Sefer Dorish Moshe, in Parshas Por Aduma, on Zois Chukas HaTorah. Parshas Zois Chukas HaTorah, you know, really is telling us the halachas of the Por Aduma, the red heifer which was used, right? You burned the cow, and from the ashes which was put into spring water, was sprinkled on a person who became a Tomei Mes. Somebody touched the mess, so he's Tomei, he became defiled. So the only way to purify him, that's why today we don't have the ashes, we don't have the Por Aduma, so everybody's today a Tomei Mes. Everybody went to a Levaya, anybody? So we have no way of getting out of it. You can go to the mikveh 24/7, it won't help you. But the need is you have to have the Por Aduma. But the Torah says, instead of saying, when the Torah tells us the laws of the Paraduma, it should have said, Zois Chukas HaPorah. We're talking about Paraduma. It says, Zois Chukas HaTorah. What means Zois Chukas HaTorah? We're not talking about general laws. Zois Chukas HaPorah, it should have said. Zois Chukas HaTorah, Loshin Zeh, says, Ramayisha, Mashma, Shu Chukas, Kol HaTorah. Mashma, that it seems that what's being said over here is not Negeya only to Paraduma. And it has, right? What it does is, it has, as you say, it's related to everything in a person's life, the Kol HaTorah Kula. Shloi Nemar, for example, doesn't say Zois Chukas HaTahara. This is the way you purify yourself from a mess. Kedomar, for example, by Korban Pesach, it says Zois Chukas HaPesach. It doesn't say Zois Chukas HaTorah. When Torah is telling you about the laws of Korban Pesach, it says specifically Zois Chukas HaPesach. This is Zois Chukas HaTorah. Here by Por Aduma, it says Zois Chukas HaTorah. It seems that it's related and it has bearing not only to Por Aduma. It has bearing elsewhere as well. Venera says Ramosha, I'll tell you why by Por Aduma it does not say Chukas HaPora. It says Chukas HaTorah. It says something very fascinating. The practice of the entire Torah has to learn from Por Aduma. How so? Por Aduma, you know, has this dichotomy, has this paradoxical feature. What is it? It's Metar Temeim and it's Metam Toim. Por Aduma was used to purify those that were Tomei. But ironically, people who were Tohar became Tomei. So it had two opposite poles of properties, right? Menakosa lakosa, from one end to the other. It was able to purify those that needed to be purified, and the other hand, it made tome those that were tore. Shemetayr temeim, it's metayr purifies those that were tome. Or metametayr, it's called a choik. But Ramosha says what you learn from Por Aduma is Hainashipu called midu amida, every character trait. But Moshe is spelling it out. Every midah midah yochel v'tzarech l'kayim mitzvah Hashem v'chaz v'shalom labem. Where Moshe tells us that there's no such thing as a good midah and a bad midah. You ask a person, give me a list of good midahs. Every child, go come back from kindergarten, you have to do this. These are the good things, these are the bad things. That's just becolious. But the truth is, no such thing as a good midah and a bad midah. What the Torah wants you to do now, that's what's good. Depends how you use it and when you use it. So every midah is good when you use it appropriately. If you use it inappropriately, it may be as good as you think it is. It's not good. So as he points out, every midah you are able to utilize it, because Kodesh Baruch Hu endowed a person with traits, so every trait can be used in service of Hashem, and even good traits can be used against Hashem, as he points out. The Chaz V'Sholom Laver, Chaz V'Sholom is to be over. V'hu, B'chol Eis L'moshel. Shitzorech, he says, Yeh onav alatzmoy v'gayv al chaveroy. Much like this. Anivis, your humility is a good midah. Gaive, right, is not a good midah, to be proud. In other words, Gaiv, a person shouldn't be pursuing COVID. A person should be another. Should, but Moshe says, when it comes to your COVID, it's important that you ignore COVID. When it comes to your neighbor's COVID, COVID is very important. Gaive, arrogance, pride for your own self, that's bad. But pride of dignity, negate to your chaver, give him all the COVID in the world. To yourself, he says, negate COVID. Be a bereach when I COVID. Run away from COVID, but not to your chaver. To your chaver, give him all the COVID that's shayach. Anivis is a mile for yourself. But for your, don't be an onav. I hate COVID, you know what? So I'm not giving COVID to my chaver either. Hey, COVID's not good. So you're not giving mechaber to anybody. Anivis is for yourself. For your chaver, he says, use gaive. COVID is something important. For your neighbor, says Rav Moshe. It's important to be an onav al atzmoi. To be an onav on yourself. The gaive al chaveroi. Behind, what does it mean, gaive al chaveroi? Use pride when it comes to your chaver. Pride means that you should appreciate COVID regarding your neighbor. Haine shiyazor moi, be careful be COVID chaveroi. The Yizbor, you should make a cheshbon shechaveru tzorach lahakpid af al ma shelo yechabdei kroy. You have to imagine that your friend is going to have akpodah. You don't get, for yourself, you should not have akpodah. It should not be makpid that they're not giving you enough COVID. But lagabi, your neighbor, assume that he needs the COVID, and you're supposed to give him the COVID when it comes to being mechabed somebody else. So an imtzus that comes out, she'oivet es Hashem b'midas anover, right? He serves Hashem with anover. Regarding himself, he works with midas anover, and he's also serving Hashem with gaiva, midas a gaiva on your friend. COVID is important. Then they get to your chaver. He says, "Ubemidas agayve shall COVID chaveru makpid kamei balgayve." When they get your chaver, you're makpid on COVID like a balgayve, not yourself. He goes further. He says, "Look," he says, "it's an important thing. A person should be a pazurin. It's important a person should have an open hand to want to give tzedakah, not to be tight fisted, right? Everyone should listen, squander. Nobody should squander. But it's important a person should not be stingy, right? Money, you should have a heart to give." So Moshe says that's in your own money. But when it comes to somebody else's money, every pruta should be important. Every pruta from somebody else's money, you have to be mechabed and you have to respect it. And don't say, eh, it's nothing, I'll take it, you know. No. When it comes to your own money, then you can be liberal. It's an inyan taka, that person, right? Money shouldn't take a major step in one's life, shouldn't take up a position of COVID, of importance. But that's your own money. So when it comes to your chaver's money, you have to be very, very, very makbid. And Moshe says like this, kamtsonis, to be stingy, right, is not a good midah. It's not a good midah on your own money to be stingy. But when it comes to your neighbor's money, be stingy on his money. On your money, it's not good to be stingy. Your money, because you have a right to give. But when it comes to your chaver's geld, to your neighbor's money, yeah, it's a big inyan. You should be a kamtson, a pazarin on your own money. But on your neighbor's money, you should be a kamtson. Says Moshe. When it comes to the idea of, right, of spending money to tzedakah, you give meiser, you give 10% or more, whatever you give. On your money you should not be a kamsen. He said, but tight fisted, but on your neighbor's money you should be kamsen. To the point, a pruta, what's a pruta? A pruta is nothing. When it comes to your own money, a pruta should not be such a big deal. It comes to your neighbor's money, taking a pruta for him like you're taking his neshama. You have no right to take what doesn't belong to you. So here again, the same thing, depending for whom, right, and to whom. So Moshe further, he says, let's say a person turns around, just the opposite. He says, on his covet he's makbid, on his chaver's covet he's not makbid. He just now reversed it. To your own covet he said you should not be makbid. On your chaver's covet you should be makbid. What if he does the opposite? So here he took a midah, just reversed it in the wrong order. So now it became, he says, an aveiro, it could have been a mitzvah. He says, so, and the same thing with money, is the zelbazach. Common marshals they also give, we say, bitochen is a tremendous mitzvah. We learned it in the Choy v'Salvados, right? Bashar bitochen. Person has problems, person has a tzorah. So you have to have a money, you have to be mechazik, zamun, and bitochen, and kodesh baruch hu. You have to have bitochen, you have to trust and faith in Hashem. On your problems. Imagine somebody knocks on your door, and he pours out his heart with all his problems. Don't give him a lecture on bitochen. But b'tochen be on your tzoris. Your tzoris, b'tochen, very good. Somebody has a problem. Has to put dollar, help of. You don't have any money. Give him an eitzah. Give him, make a phone call. Do something for him. B'tochen is for yourself. On yenim tzoris, you can't be about b'tochen. So these are the same things. B'tochen is a good midah for yourself. If you're having a b'tochen somebody else's tzoris, it's just the opposite. Now, if you use a good midah and you turn it into a midah ro'ah. So that's exactly what the Chayim Sofer is telling us. You have you're cooking a dish, and you have meat, and you have salt, and you have pepper, he says, and you have vegetables, he says. So you have to make sure that you put the right amount in, he says, appropriately. Or else, of course, we know what the dish is going to taste like. Let me give you a hakdama here, a very fascinating thing. We move over to the bottom three. Number three. In Germany, as you know, when the reform movement started, and started to make a lot of inroads, which was in Germany at the time, and there was a conference of the reform in a place that which called in Germany they called the Braunschweig, which is Brunswick, in the early 1800s. And they started to be mevatel, started really to tear away a lot of the Jewish customs. One of the things that meeting was to abolish Yontif Sheni. In other words, it's enough to have one day Yontif, not to have 2 days Yontif. Among the other things that they wanted to remove is to Mila Bishmini. Okay, so a child has a Mila, has a Bris Mila, but not on the eighth day. Why not wait until he's 6 months old? You know, be nice and strong and much healthier. And do the operation then. Do the Mila then. They want to be mevatel. The idea comes to Kvuras HaMeis, which with ideas, the Jewish tradition, to try to bury a mess as soon as possible and to delay that. The Bima Be'emtza, you know, this these things being into that, where the Bima should be in the middle. Start making all types of changes. And this aroused, of course, there was the Gedolei Yisrael of the time, and in Germany, who was in that early period, was the Aruch Lener, Reb Yankiv Yaakov Ettlinger, who was, of course, a great Goyen, of course, one of the last of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. And also, he is interesting to which people are not aware, that he was also a great Baal Mekubal and used to do a lot of fasting. He was a tremendous Oyved Hashem as well, tremendous tzaddik. But he was a great Goyen, and he was also a Elohim. He was a fighter in order to preserve, you know, the Orthodox tradition. And Reb Shloime Eger, the son of Reb Kiv Eger, was also involved in trying to do what he is his part in terms of trying to fight off the, or to stave the success that the reform movement was making. So he took a trip from Poland. Shlomo Eger was in Poland, took a trip to Germany, as we're going to see. And he writes the letter of the experiences that he had with Yochaner, and he was upset. Certain things he said, he was tremendously surprised, positively. He saw tremendous things, Latoiva, in Germany, but then he was upset. Why? Because in his opinion, he said it was time, he says, to put the reform movement under the ban, to put him in Chevron. And the Aruch Lener did not agree that that was the way, and he accuses him of the following. Look at the letter here. He said like this. This is, by the way, I cut it out here because it was a very long letter just to get what we need here. The Ba'ishe, and you'll see what Shaykhaz it has to today's Aruch Sedikim. I'll say the Shaykhaz. Okay, so the Shenis Liyodi Michtav, he said, he's saying, the reason that I traveled to Germany, because I received a letter. Matter of fact, the Aruch Lener called upon Shlomo Eger, come, two heads are better than one, and let's see what we can do, right? You're talking from Poland, but Shlomo Eger is another Godel as well. So come, let's see what we can do. So he got, apparently he waited for the second letter. Second letter came, so he said, okay, I'm going. It's a long trip, you'll see. It's a long trip. So Babo Shenis Liyodi Michtav, Hagoyen Avbezen, Tekila Altona, right? Altona is a suburb of Hamburg. You right? Mareinu Harav Yaakov Ettlinger, ki mezar is oisi meoid lova yelo b'dvar Hashem. Chishmaher, because mezar is me. He's encouraging me to come very quickly. The gamle heishiv loy al devarav, and also to give him answers on what is being said. Netzaisi loy, he said, I agreed to make the trip from Poland. Netzaisi loy boze, v'inen osati mipo yoyim beis parshas chukas. I started out on the trip. It was a Monday, parshas chukas. He says, "V'nilchatzti l'smameo," but he says, "But I got caught up and I couldn't make the trip directly. You know, I have stopovers. And I had to stop over." He said, "The Frankfurt, the other. You know, there's Frankfurt the Main, there's Frankfurt the other. That's another Frankfurt, quite far, one from the other, but it's also Germany. U'Berlin, not to stop in Berlin, also. Adyoim b'kitzadalat, I arrive." He says it was on a Wednesday, Tezayin Tammuz. Ashaboy nesati me Berlin. Rather, he said, "Ashaboy nesati me Berlin." He said, "Al Eisenbahn. Eisenbahn is a train." Eisenbahn, a train, a metal train. Uboy beyoim somuch le'erev bosi l'sholem la'altuna. So he starts like this. So I arrive, he says, just before evening, I arrived to Altuna. And he writes about the tremendous Kabbalah upon him, he said, that he waited to receive him. But kovet godlens chabadeti shom ha'goyin abezen from the Rov, ubenei beiso in the family, ashekidmu ponai betrua v'yedidis, with tremendous friendship, bebeis mishkoni, right in the place where I stayed, Terem Bosi, even before I came to the house of the Rov, Hagoyen Abezen, Hakoyen Lishon Bechalir, the word got out that I'm here. So he writes, as soon as they got out, Altuna the Hamburg, and Altuna and Hamburg, these are two separate cities, but they are suburbs, one of the other. the Gam Rabbonim Hamadroshes, and all the different Rabbonim of the different shuls over there, Kloisner, the Kloises, Ma'altun of Hamburg, Kulam Nigbitzu Boy Alai, also from the rich people, the wealthy, came to be Makabal Ponim, Gamma Givirim Anachbodim Orem Oela, also the rich people. Kitzer, I got a lot of COVID. No. Then he says, but you want to know? I didn't accomplish anything, he says. Hine Ro'isi Shekol Yigiai Bozel Yosef Sapri. Whatever I tried to give the Oruch Lener, I tried to give him Eitzis, it didn't go. Lo Yosef Pri Chua. Ach Ladas Al Nochein. He says, but one thing, Lebilti Penois Oidel Eile HaRabonin. He says, don't anymore rely on those, in general, he says, don't rely on those Rabbonim that they're going to help you. I'm going to help this issue. Asher Cheshboinom, Lemoshim, he says, Asher Cheshavnom Lemoshim, that we thought that they can help us, Leregel Hamlochesh Lofanenu, because Kigam Achreb, Shlomega says, I show them, I wrote a psak, I wrote a kuntres, what you have to do, they didn't agree to do it, in order to be able to separate themselves. Kigam Achresh HaReisil Fneim Kuntereisi B'Psak Din Asher Nigzar Aleim B'Torisenu HaGdosh. I showed them the Psak based upon Torah. L'Havdil Am Yisrael. You have to separate them from Yisrael. Ki Loi L'Yisrael Yechoshu. They cannot be counted as Yidin L'Shum Dover. So he says, theoretically they agreed with me, but L'Maisa they're not doing it. Hinei Av Ki Huchruchu L'Hoydes L'Dover Hazel L'Haloche. Even though theoretically they agree that I'm right L'Haloche. He says, "Lo nirtzu lo zeh lasses," but didn't want to make a separation. Lasses maise. Why? Ki agoyin avbezn altuna the Oruch Lener. Now he writes as a big tzaddik. He says, "In kol chasidosoi." He says, with all of his piety. Now the Oruch Lener, with all of his chasidus, his piety. Vimkol amaisa shenaso yodoi. I mean, I left it out here. He writes all of the dvorim tovim that the Oruch Lener did, but with all that he did till now, right? He says. For example, they were Magana. They did object and denigrate, you know, the rebellious. There was a pamphlet, you know, a periodical, a journal. And there they wrote, Dr. Enoch, they wrote against the reform movement. But he's afraid. This is what Shlomo Aike says on the Yoruch Neder, that he was afraid to make them Kirishoyim Hamoish Lamolov. Why? Because till now, he says something very interesting. Even those German Jews that no longer, he says, that abandoned tradition, but for some reason they still respected the Rabbonim, the Gedoyla Torah. The Ruch Haner was afraid once he separates them, once he separates from them, then he's going to lose their respect. That's what he writes. He says, this is very interesting. The Minig Anche Ashkenazis, even they were not from, they still respected, as he says. He says, Roiv HaGevirim Anche Madheva Ruach Minas Noises of Bekirvim. Roiv of the Gevirim said, Bechlau, they didn't keep the tradition. But yet, Lo Yerhavu Nar Bezokin. But the young, so to speak, would not go out against the Zokin. What do you mean Zokin? Tamid HaChachomim, Shekona Chochmas HaTayre. Means to say, those that were not learned would not go out against the Chachomim. Right? Venoig Rubunosa Kimilithnim, the Rachaner continues his Rabbonis like before. Okay, so they are not mishaned over cotton or gadol, but they can see about interesting. So in Alton Olamaisa, nothing changed. They kept the tradition there. There they didn't do anything. The Hamburg shloi brishus harabonim. Now look what he says. For nerois neflesi, he says, I was awesomely, positively surprised. Nerois, awesomely surprised. What was the positive thing? Nerois neflesi meminhogim hayishonus behem, the old minhogim in Germany. Variches hatfila, how long they davened mila b'mila. In all of Poland, I did not see such a davening as in Germany. Mila b'mila, ariches atfila, as it goes on further and further, and so on and so forth. So, why am I saying this? Why am I bringing this here? So here you have a letter of Shlomo Eiger, great man, great goyim. And he has an assessment about why the Oruch Lener, who is the Rav of Altona, does not, even theoretically he says he believes that what? That they should be out, but he's not, doesn't want to do a maise, an active act of separation. And he touches up because he had some side interest. He's afraid. So I want to show you, I believe that's not the reason. So let's go here, number four. We're going to finish now. 5 minutes, not going to take more. Okay, that's not the reason. The Oruch Lener wrote a sefer called Minchas Oni, which is not so popular, not so known. A gewaldige sefer, it's a sefer ala Torah. And those are selective essays in each parasha where he gives his hashkofe on various, on many things. What is his hashkofe? In parasha Balois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about Moshe Rabbeinu appointing leaders in Klal Yisrael. Es for li shivimish. gathered together 70 people. They should be leaders in Klal Yisrael. Shivim Ish, Ish is single. It should say Shivim Anoshim. How come Shivim Ish? Ish is one. How could it be Shivim Ish? So it quotes the Medrash. Look at this. On top. Eshvel is Shivim Ish. Shivim Ish means Miyuchodim. The reason it says Ish means that because they should be unique, distinct, like one. Meaning, what do you mean one? Shivim Leave Aloch. Because Baruch Hu says, the people you appoint as leaders should be doimet to me, should compare to me Hashem, and to you Moshe. In other words, Ish. What does Ish mean? Hashem is Ish Muhammad. Hashem is Ish Muhammad. What's Moshe? Ish Moshe on of Miyoid. Because Baruch Hu says, Eshvel Ish Shivim Ish. Make sure that the leaders of Klal Yisrael have the qualities of an Ish. What's the quality of an Ish? Two qualities. Should be doimet to me, Hashem Ish Muhammad, and to be doimet to you, to be an onav. So what does that mean? So he said, there is also a long essay. We took out Mamish what this is. Yesh Loimer, says the Oracle now. Look at the words of the Oracle Ner, the Michas Oni. She Yesh Menahale Hu'om. There are leaders. There are leaders among the Jewish people. She Choyshvim, this is in Parshas Baal Oischa. She Choyshvim Al Boigdim Ba'adosom Umisparzim Memitzas Hashem. There are many leaders who have an attitude. If you see people who are breaking, right? Who are breaking loose and making breaches, it's best to leave them, not to make machloikas. So just let them do what they want. There are leaders who are tolerant. He says, "Shetoyv lahanichom." That's it's okay just to let them be. V'loy lilchom behem. Why shloy lahaver esha machloikas? So at the expense of breaking tradition, let them break the tradition, but let's keep the peace. Why? Val safosom, because on the lips they say ahavas hashon. That's what they use. They use what? It's, you have to love peace. You have to pursue peace. Always peace. Shalom. She'ein toiv kima shalom. Ochein says, look clearly what he says. Zois das nifsedesu. He says, that's a spoiled philosophy. It's a spoiled philosophy. Shvar omer hanovi, you want peace? Ein sholem omer Hashem l'roshoyim. What kind of peace? Ein sholem omer Hashem l'roshoyim. You can't have peace. You can't have peace. Ki adrabe. Just he says, on the contrary. Kol shenit mem sholem l'boidim kaelu. The more power you give to those rebelliers, right? Germim hapir, this is going to cause more. It's going to break the sholem. Because the more you give power to those who rebel, they're not going to be able to live in harmony with you. So the fact is, the more you empower them, that's going to cause even more separation. Bein hanamonim l'Hashem, those are loyal to Hashem, bein hapoishim, and those, of course, who, the sinners, the seyatom, and their camp. Lochein, therefore. So what should the attitude of a Jewish leader be? Lochein, therefore. Choivhu, it's an obligation. Leminayla Suam, a leader of the people, Shaloy Losugochar, should not set back Mililchoim from fighting. Should not sit down. Mililchoim Ba'at Toiris Hashem, Utkonis Chachomov, and they make sure that the ordinances of the Chachomim, right? Mihiris Amachloike, because he's afraid of Amachloike. You have to at all costs protect and defend tradition. But the question is, how do you do it? How do you do it? You're supposed to fight. But how? Aval Yu Devorov Benachas Vechein Al Sfosov. Depends how you talk to them. You have to fight them. You don't be tolerant, let them do what they want. But you have to talk to them. He says, Benachas, Leman Yakiru Veyedu, that even the opposition to recognize that it's not a question of just victory, it's not a question of gaiva of pride. Leman Yakiru Veyedu Gam Misnagdov, even those who oppose Shloy Lechoyd Atzmo Yudairish, he's not doing it for his own covet. Leman Moshel Boy Geyus Hanitzuach, it's not that he has the gaiva, he has the pride of being victorious. Kim called the Vora of a Cholmatzav Lekovet Hashem. The Misnagdin, though the opposition should recognize that he means Hashem Shomayim, the Chazik Torosoi, to protect the Torah. Right? Will Asher Sadosoi, and to keep his congregation straight. But, and if you go this way, says the Oroch Lenerva, Habol Etayr Mesayim Loi. And a person who wants to bring purity, right? And be, he'll help me Shomayim. Veloi Bilvachla Yirba HaMachloikis, I did it. Not only. He was afraid not to do it because it'll cause Machloikis. If you do it in the right way, it'll even enhance the Sholem, he says. Ki im gam yitzmach ha-Sholem, he says, the future generations kasha biyarnu. As I said before, because there's a lengthy essay before. Lachain, therefore, now we understand the posik. It doesn't say, esfully gather shivim anoshim. Kim ish, loimar. Shaminayel, because he has to incorporate like one, different midos in one person. That's called ish. Every leader in Klal Yisrael has to have all of the different traits, but incorporated into one person. Meaning is, Shamanal ye ishe miyachet biyatzma shtehu enyonim. Which are the two enyonim? On the one hand, li yezdoim el Hashem. Be like Hashem, shenemar, Hashem ishmochomo. Yes, you have to go out and fight. Lilcha memoy ve Yisrael. But at the same time, when you are fighting, how are you fighting? Uledamois gam le Moshe. But you also have to be compared to Moshe as well. Shenemar boy ve ish Moshe onomiyoid. Shiu dvorov benachas u beanove veloy begaive.
But oz heim dvarim ayoytzim in alev. That means dvarim ayoytzim alev, because you're not doing it for victory, you're not doing it for COVID. You're speaking so edel, you're speaking so nice. Nechnosim al alev veyusak tachlisoy milchamtoy, and he'll achieve it. So Ochna clearly is telling you he had a different mahalach. He's telling you clearly he had a different approach. So it's a question of approach, not a question of being afraid or anything. Fakir, he thought that the way to be maslit is to do it this way. So this rabbi says, so this is again, this is what Orchid Siddiqim is telling us, to take all of the midis that we're endowed. There's not just a good midah and a bad midah, but to serve the Siyata Dishmaya, to use it appropriately, to use it in the right way, and then we'll be able to reach our tachlis, our appropriate tachlis that we hope to reach.